A truck driver who crosses the Auckland border is among today's new COVID cases. There's 13 today, all of them in Auckland, bringing the total to this outbreak to 996. And there's also a mystery case, a patient at Middlemore Hospital's ED who showed no symptoms but was swabbed as part of surveillance testing. The truck driver who delivers supermarket supplies, has driven to Cambridge, Hamilton and Tauranga. Ko Taku Manuhiria Nayanei, called Dr. Aisha Verrill, the government spokesperson today on COVID issues. Kia ora, Minister.
Kia ora, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about the truck driver?
Yeah, I don't have an update beyond what was shared at the 1pm update, and you relayed that all in your introduction there. I do know that the interview with the truck driver has concluded, so if there are any locations of interest to come from that, I imagine they'll be through soon. But of course there might not be, because people who leave Alert Level 4 are advised to take their Alert Level with them.
So the trips, Cambridge, Tauranga, Hamilton, was that one trip or multiple trips?
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have any other information. We do need to let the team, as they do their investigation, get on with their work. So I haven't heard any further details from that investigation.
It was said today that the driver was isolating as he was a contact of a case. So when was that case identified and when was he told he was a contact?
Yeah, I think that is precisely the sort of information we'll get as the investigation is concluded.
So are they in the same household as in the COVID case that was his close contact and presumably where he's caught the virus? Do they live in the same household?
Yeah, Lisa, we get our updates on the cases daily. And so in between times, we do need to let the team get on with the work of doing the investigation. The questions you're asking are precisely what they'll be asking. We'll be able to provide further information on that tomorrow.
Right, OK. Well, let's move on then to pensioners stuck in Australia due to the COVID outbreak and the bursting bubble there. There's a lot of pensioners who are pretty stressed out. Some of them have health issues and they're staring down the barrel of their pensions being suspended. Now, you're their minister as well as being the COVID spokesperson today. What should happen with them?
Yeah, well, firstly, I understand that it is a stressful situation to be in. I have received a little bit of correspondence on this issue, and officials estimate that it affects a few dozen people. And the situation with the law for superannuation is it can only be paid to people overseas for 7 months. So you can imagine if someone went in the Trans-Tasman bubble about mid-October, that could be an issue for them. One of the things about the law is that the legal advice that we've received is that additional payments to people beyond that 7 months is only available, only possible if it's not reasonably foreseeable. If the reason that they're overseas or stuck overseas is not reasonably foreseeable, and we're advised that wouldn't apply to the Trans-Tasman bubble.
Why, Minister? Because I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a couple of things here. If you think that there's only about a couple of dozen of them, then it wouldn't cost you that much to keep paying them their pension. And the second thing is that clause that you've read out, well, it seems subjective. If you couldn't reasonably foresee this, they may have been able to foresee a slight interruption, but the one that they are now facing, which is weeks and weeks with no solid prospects of return, and the government freezing MIQ after they got stuck there. I mean, really, is that reasonable that they could have anticipated what appears to be a perfect storm?
I think the question about what's reasonably foreseeable is indeed one that we can work through. And you would have heard the Minister of Finance say that for people whose situation is really beyond their control, we are interested in continuing to see what can be done for them.
So what should they do and who should they contact? And what do they need to provide?
So I think this is a process that the Minister for Social Development is continuing to look at. But I think there's a couple of things that they can do. The first thing is that there is, in addition to the initial green zone flights that were on when Trans-Tasman bubble was closed, you'll recall there was a week of green zone flights. there are ongoing red zone flights, and the next tranche of MIQ vouchers to be released will include Australia. So it's still that way. Then there's the MIQ
What date for those ministers, the release of the Australia vouchers?
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have a date for that. There is another avenue, though, listeners will want to know about, which is that there is an exceptional, I think it's emergency allocation of MIQ that you can apply for. And while this on its own wouldn't be ground for that, this in combination with other factors that may reflect hardship could be taken into account. So people in that position could apply for an MIQ exemption in that way. And then, as I said, it remains an area the government continues to look at, with the Minister of Social Development being the lead minister there.
So are you advocating for them?
I continue to talk to both the Minister of Social Development and Minister for COVID Response about this issue.
On the subject of these six MPC rugby players that have moved around the country, there was apparently an error, as it's being described, by New Zealand Rugby relating to their applications for travel exemptions. What can you tell us about that? What was the mistake?
Look, I am not aware of that issue, but I do know the Minister for Sport is aware of it. So I'm sorry, I can't give you any other information. I just heard that Minister Robertson was dealing with that.
And just briefly before you go, do you support mandatory vaccination for health workers?
Look, mandatory vaccination is a big step. I'm very clear that vaccination is an important responsibility because it does protect not only the individual but their patients as well. I'm really heartened by the steps the profession is taking to advocate vaccination to their members, and I'm watching that really closely.
Thank you for your time this evening. That's Dr. Aisha Verrill, the Associate Health Minister.